Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Information technology can be a wonderful thing, and it can be even more wonderful when combined with other technologies to produce a whole that's often greater than the sum of its parts. Medical imaging machines, for example, combined imaging technology with interpretive graphic technology with data storage and analysis technology to enable medical personnel to better understand what's going on inside a human body, which can sometimes help to save a life. And as governments on all levels are telling us these days, putting all of a person's medical records into digital form and storing those records in a central database so that they can be available anywhere can not only provide better care in cases of emergency, but can also potentially, although this has yet to be proven anywhere that we're aware of, help reduce medical costs. That's the upside. The downside is that to date, there is no completely secure data storage system anywhere, from the Pentagon on down to your local bank. Personal medical data, if exposed, could be a big problem for individuals, for families, and for other parts of society. So, does it make sense to have personal medical data kept in a huge central database that would, of course, be very attractive to hackers? That's a question that goes beyond the strict confines of technology to answer. So does another question that involves personal medical information and which Maine legislators and the people they represent will soon need to make a decision about. DNA, as we all know, is the blueprint of life. Current science believes that no two people, with the possible exception of identical twins, have precisely identical DNA. That makes DNA the ultimate personal identifier. And that, of course, makes it of great interest to any number of parties, from health insurance companies to employers to law enforcement. In Maine, those who are convicted of a felony must provide a sample of their DNA, which is then sent to a federal DNA database. Since criminals often commit more than one crime, the thinking is that if someone commits a future crime and leaves behind DNA somewhere at the crime scene, then there's a record of their DNA already on file, and the DNA samples could be matched and traced back to the perpetrator. And voila, the crime is solved. This is very similar, at least conceptually, if not technologically, to matching fingerprints. In fact, the primary sponsor of a bill in the Maine legislature right now regarding DNA, Representative Megan Maloney of Augusta, refers to DNA as, quote, the fingerprints of the 21st century, end quote. The bill currently under consideration in the legislature would require DNA testing not of those convicted of a crime, but of those arrested for one of a list of serious felony crimes ranging from burglary to rape. The bill is under revision at the moment, but it will be voted on shortly during the crunch that happens in the legislature's last few weeks in session. So here we are again. We have a situation where the confluence of other technology, in this case DNA coding, combines with information technology to make it possible to store the personal building block of a person's life. Is this a good idea? On the one hand, it seems to offer possibilities to link an alleged criminal with crimes he or she may have committed elsewhere or in the past. If someone is arrested and a DNA swab taken and tested, prosecutors and a court would know whether this person has been associated with other unsolved crimes for which DNA evidence was available. Sounds like a great asset for law enforcement. But then there's that pesky legal tradition in this country of being innocent until proven guilty. In some places, DNA swabs are taken routinely when one is arrested for virtually any crime, from picking flowers on public land to murder. And in places like Great Britain, where this is the case, once that DNA evidence is in a database, authorities are loath to let it go. In Great Britain, for example, the authorities there wanted to keep DNA information, even of those proved innocent or for whom no charges were ever filed, until the person reached 100 years of age. The European Court of Human Rights begged to differ, and said that DNA of people not convicted of a crime should be immediately and automatically removed from the UK DNA database. That has not happened, 2 years after the court's ruling, and despite the fact that, in the UK at least, the DNA database has resulted in few solved crimes. Those who hold information hate to part with it. The proposed legislation in Maine tries to minimize some of the problems that have occurred in other places. First of all, there's a list of specific crimes, all felonies, to which the law would apply. You won't have to give a DNA sample in Maine for picking flowers on public land. And while the sample you do give naturally contains all of your DNA, supporters are at pains to emphasize that only a subset of your DNA would be coded and stored under the proposed Maine law. Second, even though those arrested will have to provide a DNA sample, that sample won't be processed and placed into the federal DNA database until a person is indicted by a grand jury, which is a fairly high standard, or a judge grants police a search warrant based on probable cause, a not quite so high standard. Exactly when the sample would be added to the DNA database is still under discussion in the legislature, but it would certainly be before a trial, if there is a trial. But what if a person is found not guilty of the offense? The bill would allow a person to write a letter asking that his or her DNA be removed from the database. This would not happen automatically as it does in some other jurisdictions. Why? Representative Maloney said that it's a matter of funding. It would be too expensive for the state, although not too expensive for the state to put the sample in the first place, and so leaves it up to the exonerated person to be aware that he or she needs to make a request to have the DNA sample removed, assuming it actually will be, or have his or her DNA stay in the database, presumably forever. While no information storage system is completely secure, the federal and state DNA registries do their best to keep DNA information from being hacked from without or abused from within by any of the thousands of authorities nationwide who can request information from the DNA database. So here we have another situation where a decision has to be made about the utility and morality of taking from someone the absolutely most personal information available about a human being before that person is convicted of a crime, in the hopes of making law enforcement more effective. This is a choice that exists because of the power of today's information technology. We know that that technology is far from secure. We know that even if it were secure from outside attack, which no system is completely at present, that there is the possibility of insider abuse, as there has been in similarly supposedly confidential systems, such as our own State Department passport database, and health systems in other countries where inside employees have sold healthcare information about individuals to outside corporations. We've got a potential upside. We've got a potential downside. We've got a legal tradition. We've got technology that is shaking some of the ways we've viewed ourselves for 200 years. What do we do? Whatever you think about this question, it would be a good time to let your Maine representatives know. They'll have to be voting on it soon. Big questions. And for better or worse, there are a lot more where those came from. So we'll try to at least pose some of those questions on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.